Oh my goodness. Thank you to Pastor Lindsay. Thank you, Carlin, for arranging that with the kiddos. Just amazing. Don't you just love that? Yeah, so awesome. Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Happy Resurrection Sunday. Isn't it good to be alive? Right? You woke up with air in your lungs this morning. Breath in your lungs. That's the reason to give him praise. Well, you know, as we know, today is a Resurrection Sunday, and it's the day that Jesus rose from the dead after dying a horrible death by crucifixion 2,000 plus years ago. And, you know, I think if you're honest with yourself, at some point in your life, you might have asked yourself the question, why? Why did he have to die like that? Why did a human, he was a human being after all, wasn't he? I mean, I know he was God and human, and but if he's God, why did he have to suffer like that? Why did he have to die like that? If he is God, why couldn't he just wave his hand and get rid of all of our sin? Am I the only one to ask that question then? So you guys are all just fully believers, holier than thou. I see where we're starting. I see. I'll talk to these people over here. You're with me, right? You've asked yourself that question. Come on now. You've asked yourself the question because it seems like, why, God? Why would you suffer like this if you could just wave your hand, your magic hand, and it'd all be okay? Well, that question actually has a lot of depth and a lot of layers to it. And since I only have 2 hours today, I'm kidding. I only have time to touch on two points. So that's what we're going to focus on today. Why did he have to come like this? The first one is the power of death. And the second one was the atonement through his blood. So let's start. So God establishes his kingdom. Remember, we talked about this in some of the previous sermons we've done, is that God has a kingdom in heaven, and then he established his kingdom here on earth. But even so, God's kingdom, even in heaven, has laws that he put in place. It has statutes. It has a way that it operates within his kingdom that he decided, hey, this is how my kingdom will run. Now, God is completely righteous, which means he's always good, he's always perfect, and he's also all love. He's not loving, he is love. So you know how on some days you're loving? Some days? Some moments in the day? Now, those moments, he's always loving, but he's not even to the degree that where you are, where you're probably doing it in response for something else, you know what I'm saying? A little, if we're honest, like, no, he is pure love. He is the most pure love, which means he's also fair and just. Because if a person is truly all loving, then they would be justice as well. They would be a fair person as well. And so the way God set it up is that there are laws, and if you break his law, there's a penalty to be paid. No different than if somebody was to commit a crime here. Let's say somebody commits murder. Now, what would you feel about that judge if the judge said, oh, listen, I know you've killed 3 people, but we're just going to let you go? There'd be an uproar, right? Why? Because you'd say that judge is not a good judge. He's not a fair judge because he didn't punish the person for their crime. God is the same. Father God is no different. He is not only fair, but he's also just. And so if in his kingdom a law is broken, there has to be a penalty that is paid for that law that was broken. He calls it sin. Another word for sin, maybe you've heard the word sin too much. Another word for sin is rebellion. So when there was a rebellion against God, he couldn't stand for that. Because he can't have rebellion in heaven. Because remember, he's pure, he's holy, he's just, and he's loving. So he had to do something if there was rebellion. So the first thing we're going to talk about, as I said, is the power of death. You know, both my parents recently passed away. My dad passed away 8 months ago now, and my mom 2 months ago. And I think when you lose somebody really close to you, it changes you. But it also changes the way you see things. The way you see life changes. And God has been so gracious to me through this time, and he really helped me to see the bigger picture of life, of his kingdom, and has given me a much deeper understanding of not just life, but of death and his kingdom as well. And I know there's many questions people have around death, especially when you lose a loved one. And I've come to understand that sometimes when God seems to not answer you, that in fact is an answer. People mistakenly believe that God doing nothing means God did nothing. But God, him doing nothing is him doing something. And I know you're thinking, who's on first, what's on second, what did she just say? I'm completely lost. God doing nothing is him doing something, because he gave Jesus to die in your place so that when you die, you cross over into eternity and Jesus is waiting for you in heaven. So actually, regardless if Jesus never does another thing for you here on earth, if you never hear another answer, he has already always answered the most important question you have. But there's a lot of mystery when it comes to life, and there's a lot of mystery when it comes to God, because he is God, right? There's only no mystery for you if you've created God in your own mind. But for the rest of us, there's mystery. And sometimes you ask something or you're waiting for something and it seems that God is silent. We have to learn to live in the silence of God. Because if he is God and not you, then his silence is actually saying something. His silence is actually doing something. You just might not have the privilege of knowing what that is. But they say the most primal fear that human beings have is the fear of death. I mean, I get it, because there's this power that death seems to have over us, because there's this finality in death. There's this realization that I can never go back and have another conversation. I can never go back and fix that. I can never go back and have one more hug. I can never change it. It's final. And the thing is, all of us will face it. And all of us will lose to it. So there's this fear that many people have, and nobody can escape it. Benjamin Franklin said it this way. He said, nothing in this world is as certain except death and taxes. Good times. They're like, I'm so glad I came to church today. This is a great message. She's starting off strong. Can only go up from here. So, you know, death is so important and it's such a big part of our lives. So who created death? Where did death come from? Well, let's go to the ancient scriptures. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 all the way to the beginning. And let's read together. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17. It said, now this is God talking, and he's talking to Adam and Eve in the garden. Nobody else is around them except them. And he says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Adam must have been like, wait, what? I'm gonna what? Did he say die? What is die? I wonder what die means. He'd never seen death. Nothing had ever died yet. How would he know what die means? So who created death? God. God created death, but imagine for a moment that death is in everything, yet it's laying dormant. It has no power. It's the bee without the sting. It's there, but it has no power. So, but God warns them, and he says to them, but if you eat of this, you shall surely die. So you will give it power if you do what? Sin. If you rebel against what I've asked you, you will give death power. So who was listening? Satan, the serpent, the devil, was listening, and he hears this, and he's like, wait a minute. I know God is a man of his word. He's a God. He cannot break his word. He cannot go against his word. I've just found a loophole. If I can get the human to disobey, to rebel against the God, it will bring death alive and death will kill them. And God will have to allow it because he spoke it. He's the one who put the law in place. He's the one that said, if you rebel, death comes alive and kills you. So the serpent convinces them to rebel against Almighty God. And we know the story. They eat the apple. So the only power death has was the power we gave it. Now God has a problem. Because he said, in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. And God was talking to a human. We've already established that. He wasn't talking to an angel. He wasn't talking to another being. He was talking to a human, which means he couldn't ask an angel to die in our place because he was talking to a human. He couldn't get a goat or a sheep to die in our place because he was talking to a human. So he had to get a human to die for the sin. But he loved you and I so much, he couldn't bear for it to be you or I. So he devised a plan that he would come himself. So Jesus comes in his place because he loved us kids too much. Let's read Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. So there it is. You see God becoming like a human. He becomes a human. For only as a human being could he die. And only by dying could he break the power of the devil and the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. People that have a fear of dying today are living as slaves to the fear of death. What is coming? What is beyond that grave? What don't I know? They're living as slaves to it. And you see that the devil held the power of death because he had convinced human beings to sin. And what he's talking about here, this is not just the death where, oh, your life is ended over here and you're stuck in a grave for the rest of eternity. No, death here is talking about eternal separation from God Almighty. And when you are separated from all good, all loving, all kind, all justice, the opposite of that is hatred, anger, fear. Separation is AKA hell. This death was serious. So then we look at it, we're like, okay, so sin gave power to death. So that way, if we could get rid of the death, how could we get rid of death? How could we get rid of that? Well, easy. We just have to get rid of the sin problem. That seems easy enough. Because without sin, it would have no power over us. The only problem is we are the sinner. I mean, you've heard the expression, can a drowning man pull himself out by his own hair? I never really understood that until one day I jumped off a cliff intentionally, lost my balance on the way down, and hit my knees into my chin so badly, and I jumped off a 50-foot cliff. I used to be a cliff jumper crazy person. And you think you don't have angels. Oh my gosh, my parents were prayers. You better be praying for your kids, okay? Because they do stupid things. So on the way down, realizing I've lost my balance, I hit the water. I knocked my own wind out by my knees hitting my chest and my face. Everybody on the cliff is cheering for me. I'm down there drowning because I can't breathe. And in that moment, it's like, I remember my dad saying, just keep your head above the water and be calm. Just breathe, little breaths, you know, all the training you had. But in that moment, I'm like that thought of like, yeah, how could I possibly pull myself out of this situation? Right? How could I possibly help myself? And this is what people think about when you're like, well, we could get rid of the sin problem on our own. You can't because you're the drowning man. So God comes to save us. Jesus comes and he lives a sinless life. The only problem is he has to die for us, remember? And how does death kill you? Because of sin. The only power that death has to kill you is because of sin. The problem is Jesus lived a sinless life. Therefore, death had no power over him. But he has to die. We have a problem. John 10, verse 17. Jesus says, "The Father loves me because I sacrifice my life so I may take it back again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down when I want to and also take it up again, for this is what my Father has commanded me." See, Jesus knows that death has no power over him because he has no sin. But Jesus knows where he can get a lot of sin. So he comes to us to get the sin. He lays his life down on the cross. And God takes all the sin, all your sin, every lie, every time you cheated, every time you stole, every time you killed, every time you did any horrible thing, he takes it. He takes mine. He takes the shame. He takes the guilt. He takes everything you've ever done and he puts it on Jesus. So death could kill him. Yeah, you go ahead and clap because that's Jesus, right? I feel the same. I want to jump up and down. So he puts it on Jesus and death kills him. But see, what death didn't realize was that when Jesus took all the sin of us and put it on Jesus, death lost its power over us. Because sin is gone. He took our sin. Therefore, death no longer has power over you. That means death can no longer hold you in the grave. Hades can't keep you in the grave. You can't stay in the grave because Jesus already took your sin. Death has no power over you. When you die, you step over into eternity with Jesus. Jesus is waiting for you because he's already paid the price. And death has no power. Death didn't see it coming. Look at 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 55. This is Paul saying, "Oh death, where's your sting? You're the bee without the sting again. Oh Hades, where's your victory?" The sting of death is sin. The power of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. What is he saying? The sin gave death its power. That's how it got empowered. Well, we've broken that. Jesus died. He took it upon himself. But he's saying the strength of sin is the law. So when people try by themselves to follow a law code, oh, I'm just going to be a good person. I'm just going to not steal. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. I should get to heaven. That means you're being independent. Something that society and culture pushes up. But God said, that's not my way. My way is dependence. Because your way is the law. And the law empowers sin. It actually makes you more sinful. The harder you try to live this life by yourself in your own strength, I'll do it. I'll show them. God looks at it as pride and sin. It actually empowers the sin in your life. And therefore, what is empowered when you empower the sin? Death. But Jesus took it in your place. It says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. Right. See, death lost twice that day. It didn't see the fact that it lost all of us. It's like, wait, what? He took all the sin? How could he do that? It lost us. But what it also didn't realize is that it killed Jesus illegally. When he saw Jesus come back from the dead, death was like, wait a minute, I thought I killed you. But the problem is, Jesus never actually sinned himself. Jesus said, the greatest love you can have is to lay down your life for another. The greatest love. He was sinless. He took our sin on us, but he was sinless. So death killed him illegally. Therefore, death could not hold him in the grave. Do you understand? Like when death comes for you, it came for you. God is in the past, the present, in the future. He's already at the day you die. He's already there. But what happens is the day you come to face the Maker, the day you come to face the death itself, what happens is Jesus steps in front of death and says, stop, take me. And in the moment you're supposed to die and spend eternity in hell in the grave, Jesus says, kill me instead. And in that moment, death is faced once again with the cross and the resurrection. And in that moment, once again, he stepped in front of it for you. If you've ever had somebody jump in front of a car to save your life, you would say, I owe them my life. You owe Jesus your life. Not just in eternity. You owe him your life here and now. Because he's already jumped in front of death for you. Not just here, but in eternity. He has taken it for you. Come on, give Jesus some praise. The second reason he died was atonement through his blood. Atonement means this. Atonement means to be reconciled to God. Remember, two problems happened when we sinned, when Adam and Eve sinned. First, they rebelled. The rebellion gave the power to death. So we had that problem. We see how Jesus deals with that. But then the other problem was the justice. Remember, a good judge, there should be a penalty for the crime. God still had the problem of his wrath needing to be poured out on the sin because he is a righteous God and a righteous judge. That's why you see all through scripture, God allows them to sacrifice animals and kill them, and the blood would cover their sin so God couldn't see it. God decided that blood sacrifice is the only way to cover a sin. Now, the Old Testament, all it could do is cover it. It couldn't erase it. It couldn't make them righteous. It could just cover it. People say, oh, that's pretty gruesome. Why blood? If I had to ask you this, how long can you live if you lost all the blood in your body? Not long. Not long at all, right? Why? Because the blood represents life. You've heard the saying say, the life is in the blood. The life is in the blood. Therefore, God knew it would have to be a sacrifice, basically, of a life for a life. The blood represents the life. Now imagine for a moment, Jesus Christ, God, shedding his blood for you. Jesus's blood is the life of God. When he died on the cross, the life of God was shed. The life of God. His blood was the life. His blood. That's why there's healing in his blood. There's wholeness in his blood. There's free from anxiety in his blood. It's because it's the very life flowing from God Almighty. And if your God is too small, you might be dealing with a lot of issues thinking that you have to live with them. But if you understood the almighty, omnipotent, all-powerful, pure, righteous, holy judge God, you would accept that life of his blood as it washes you clean, as it heals you, as it restores you, as it brings you wholeness, because it is the very blood, the very life of God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 9, it says this. Since we have now been justified by his blood. Justified, justice, justified, just as if I'd never sinned. Justified. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? So when Jesus died, and after he rose again, he took his blood, it says, and he took it to the mercy seat in heaven. And he put his blood, he sprinkled his blood on the mercy seat in heaven. That's why the scripture says, in your time of need, when you feel like you've fallen, you feel like you've messed up again, you feel like you've done something, it says you can come to the throne of grace and ask for mercy in your time of need. Because what happens in that moment, God looks over and he sees his son's blood. He sees his very blood on the mercy seat, and it covers a multitude of sin. And it covers you. And it doesn't matter how you've come in. When you come in and you say, God, forgive me, I messed up, I've done this. He looks at you, he sees the blood, and all he can see is his son. In the moment he sees you drenched in his very life, and you are forgiven. So do you understand that yes, Jesus died to take back the power of the devil? Because with that, he took away the power of the devil. He took away the power of sin in your life. You no longer have to deal with sin in your life. That's why when you come to Christ, people expect you to look differently than you used to look. Because you're no longer the person you used to be. That person died. That person died. And now when you step over into the grace, you're literally stepping into Jesus Christ. The blood of Christ is in you, washes you clean. And what he does is he enables you to no longer live a sinful life. Do you understand? Yes, you can make a mistake. We mess up. We're human. We fall. It's okay. But to live a sinful life is no longer your portion. You should look different. Because he died in your place. He took the very power. People say, oh, I can't break this addiction. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. If you understand who gave you the power, yes, you can. He already took the power from the devil. It's only up here that tells you you can't. Jesus died and took back the power of the devil and of death. But he did it also to satisfy the wrath of God. Do you realize that Jesus died for himself? He died for himself. He died to satisfy the wrath that needed to be poured out for the sin. He died to honor his own word. Most of you, your word means nothing. Oh, I'll be there, I don't show up. Oh, I'll do that, I don't do it. Jesus' word, he held it so highly, he died for it, to honor it. And not just any death. He suffered. The scripture says it pleased him to bruise him. He's talking about himself. It pleased him to bruise him. He took the suffering knowing you wouldn't have to take it. He took the suffering and let himself be killed so you wouldn't have to suffer. My friend, salvation is a free gift to you. But it wasn't free. It cost Jesus everything. The price was very high. So that today, you could have a free gift. You could know salvation. You could know him personally, intimately, that you can walk with him, that you can know his presence, unlike without having to kill a goat or a ram like they used to have to do, or sheep, whatever. You don't have to do that anymore. You can talk to him. You can say, I come, Father God. Oh, Lord, forgive me. I repent of my sins. Thank you for Jesus' blood that washed me clean. And now I get to come into your presence, God, not because of anything I've done, but because of the incredible death you paid, the price you paid for me. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. And when he rose from the dead, ooh, and embarrassed death so bad. Because death's like, what, I can't kill him again. That's just awkward. When he rose from the grave, what he said is, this is my sign. This is the sign, my child. This is the sign that you too, when you die, your spirit will rise and you will cross over into eternity. This is the sign. This is the sign. Nobody else did this. Nobody else. Buddha, Confucius, Islam, all the other gods, Muhammad, they're all still in the grave. But Jesus said, here, you want to know which one is the right God? I'll show you. I'll come back. I'll rise from the dead. I'll show you that death has no power over you, that sin no longer has any power over you, because I'll rise from the ashes. I will rise from the grave. Also, that you could have eternity with him. But your life and your eternity starts right now. You're already walking into eternity. The only thing that will change one day is this body will decay and stop working. But your spirit and soul will keep walking. One of two ways. Into the arms of death and Hades and the grave. If you choose to be independent. If you choose to do it yourself. And empower the law, and empower sin, and empower death. Or you can choose. I don't want to suffer like that, Jesus. I don't want to do this by myself, Jesus. Why would I want to? Could you imagine such a loving, holy God? No one else who ever claimed to be God, which none of them ever did, they were prophets, none of them ever showed a God who came and died in someone's place and took the punishment for them. Such love, we have a hard time wrapping our brains around it, because that is the love of the Father. But today it's your choice. I've laid before you life and death. Jesus says, choose life. The choice is yours. You have to choose to receive and accept what Jesus did. You have to make the choice. The Bible says you have to confess with your mouth that he is Lord. Not just that he's some God who doesn't want to know you, but no, you took my place. All my shame, all my sin, all my mistakes, all my independence, you took on that cross so I could be free. So I could live a life with you, Jesus. So that one day when this stops working, I'll step over into your presence for eternity. The decision is yours. Can I have the lights down? I want you to close your eyes in this place. This is a holy moment, not to be taken lightly. Some of you, I'll never see you again. You came today. Maybe because you were forced or dragged or kicked and screamed, I don't know. Maybe you were bribed with lunch afterwards. It's okay, Jesus got a sense of humor. Either way, this is your moment. You can never claim ignorance when you stand before the Almighty God. You can never say, I didn't understand. Nobody explained it to me. because he'll pull it up on the big screen. This moment, this message that he gave me. Nothing you have done is bigger than the cross. Nothing you have done can stop him from loving you. The only thing that can stop it is if you choose to reject him. If you choose to reject his love and his salvation, you're on your own. This is a moment where all of heaven stands still. The angels have gathered around and they're watching this moment. The Lamb's Book of Life has been opened. The angel has picked up the pen. Will he include your name in the book? Will he write that death no longer has power over you? If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you've never been sure, is my name in that book? Has he taken my sin? I don't know. Have I confessed him like she says? I don't know. This is your moment. When you raise your hand, God sees your heart. He sees it as a confession before men, and the angel will begin to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then begins the journey knowing God Almighty, your Creator, the reason you were born. If you want to pray that prayer with me today and you want God to see it, then I ask you to slip your hand up in the air wherever you are. Wherever you are in the room, just raise your hand and I'm going to pray with you. Just raise your hand so I can see you. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for being bold, sir. Thank you for being bold. I see that hand. I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, sir. I see your hand. That means you mean business with God. Thank you for the hands going up. Thank you that you mean business with God. Enough is enough. You're going to take the power back that the devil has had over you. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. Thank you. I see those hands going up. I see those hands going up. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask everybody to stand with me where you are. I'm going to ask you to do something so bold. And I'm going to ask you to come down front here with me, and I'm going to pray with you, and I'm going to get my prayer team to give you a book as well. There's something about stepping forward and saying, God, you hung naked for me on a cross. I think I can walk a few steps. Because as I take that step out of my chair, I'm freeing myself from the sin that's held me. I'm freeing myself from the power of death. I'm freeing myself as I take a step toward God. And so as they come, I want you to give them a round of applause, because the boldness it takes to walk forward. Come now. Come now. I'm going to pray with you. Come now. If that's you, come forward. Come forward. Don't let that hold you back. It doesn't matter if you're a recommitment. I don't care. Come forward. I saw the hands. Come forward, guys. God is watching you. It's a few steps, and we're going to pray for you right down front. Come on down. Come on down. It doesn't matter if you're a recommitment to the Lord. It doesn't matter who sees you. It means that you honored God and His word. I don't usually ask people to come forward, so there must be a reason the Lord told me to do it now. Because who will be bold? Who will stand for him? If you can't stand for God in a church, you will never stand for him when you walk out those doors. If you are recommitting your life, it doesn't matter. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Come on down. I know there's more of you that raise your hand. Come on down. Even if you're recommitting your life, just come on down. Come on down. Make that stand for the Lord. Your heart is beating in your chest. That's for a reason. I don't usually delay, but the Spirit of the Lord won't let me move forward. Because you don't know what your tomorrow holds. You don't know if there's a car accident out there. You don't know what's waiting for you. But the step forward is important. even if you are recommitting your life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. I want to pray, but if there's anybody else that wants to be part of this prayer, come now. Come now. Come now. Thank you, Jesus. This is a holy moment. Come now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Prayers, go ahead and lead them through the salvation prayer. Ministry team, lead them through the salvation prayer. Thank you. Come on down, sir. Come on down. There we go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Don't let the enemy talk you out of your freedom. Don't let the enemy talk you out of your freedom. If this is your moment of recommitment, if this is your moment of, I'm walking for the Lord, I want my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, then come on down. Come on down. Jesus rose so you can rise. Jesus rose so you can rise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, you see the hearts. You see the hearts, Father. I thank you for the repentant hearts, Lord. I thank you for the hearts that have turned from their sin, the hearts that have said, I don't want to be independent anymore. I want to be dependent on you. I want to take your love, your righteousness, your kindness, your goodness, God. Today I reach and hold of it in a new, fresh way, God. And for all my people, all my believers out there who maybe have felt like you've gotten cold at heart, I hope this would have lit you up on fire. I hope this would have lit you up on fire to say that this is what he paid for. I can no longer live in sin because there is no power over it, over me. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. There's a beautiful anointing here, and we'll also make sure we give them God's Plan for Your Life books. Thank you, LaCheryl. I want to pray for you. If you have, feel like you have, if you're dealing with a sickness in your body, Jesus said, by his stripes you are healed. So the stripes he took enabled you to be healed. Not of our doing, I'm just the vessel. I'm just the vessel. I'm just the one standing in faith with Jesus that you could be healed. It's a simple matter of the fact of holding on to it and saying, just like you would salvation, saying, I want that healing. I want that healing right now. If that's you, come down front. I'm going to pray for you really quick. If you need healing, come down front. I'm going to pray for you really quick. Just find a spot here by the platform so we know who's who. Just come right down front. Come right down front. If you're coming for healing, put your feet up against the platform right here. We're going to pray. I'll get some catches behind people. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you need healing, just come on down front. Come on down front. Maybe you need some healing in your soul. Maybe you've experienced some things and your soul is sick. You've been through some issues. You've been through some stuff and you're like, God, I need that. I need that healing. He died for complete healing. He died so you could be whole, so you could be healed, so you could be set free. This is by his power, not by anybody else's power. The name of God, the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus. Just lift your hands if you've come for prayer. Say, I receive your healing right now in the name of Jesus. I receive your healing. If there's a second line, I need catchers behind the first row, guys. So just move people back a little bit. Move them back so we don't have anybody falling on anybody. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Jesus, for your blood. I thank you by the stripes that you took that they are healed right now in the name of Jesus. From their head to their toe right now, I take authority over any sickness, disease that has come against them. In the name of Jesus, any open door in their life that has allowed this in, I shut it in the spirit right now in the name of Jesus. And I take authority over any demonic spirit that has sought to harass them, that has come in the name of of Jesus, I call the fire of God down in this place, the fire of God on them in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name. And I command healing to flow through your body right now in the name of Jesus. Healing, healing, healing. The precious blood of Jesus heals you right now from your head to your toe in the name of Jesus, bringing a healing and a cure. I thank you, God, for the anointing that's flowing through our body right now, bringing a healing and a cure. I command pain to go in Jesus' name, healing to come in Jesus' name. I command pain to go and healing to come in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you're the great physician, that you're the healer in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, for the anointing to heal, the anointing to heal. In the name of Jesus, I speak healing to your body in the name of Jesus, from your head to your toe, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, for your blood. I thank you for your blood, Father. In the name of Jesus, from her head to her toe. No pain, pain to go in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, for those that have come, Lord, for those that have come for healing in their soul, Lord, for healing to flow through their body in the name of Jesus. Oh, Ramanda la baba kare biki shura baba kasare biki shura bokore dere. Oh, rababa kare dere biki shura bokusara dere. The Lord says that the enemy is, the Spirit of the Lord is saying, the enemy is trying to stop you. He's trying his best to stop you. He's trying to put things in your path that will distract you and pull you away. And even the sickness, even that is a distraction to pull you from the true call of God in your life, from the anointing in your life. But even as you worship, even as you sing, and as you worship, you release the anointing to other people. The very anointing that flows through you will continue to bring healing and restoration in your life in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father. I thank you for healing in the name of Jesus, for balanced body, a balanced system, Father. I thank you that the root cause is healed in her body in the name of Jesus, God. In the name of Jesus, energy, restoration, clarity of mind. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father, for healing him from his head to his toe, Lord. Fresh, fresh anointing, God. From inside out, Lord, that his joy and his healing will come from the inside out, Lord, for sweet sleep, Lord. I thank you for clarity of mind and thought, God. And I thank you for miracle upon miracle in his life, Lord, that the enemy will not stop him, will not hold him back, that he will have fresh energy, renewed energy. And I thank you, Lord, that no sickness or disease can stand in his path in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for healing in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, by the stripes that Jesus took, she is healed, she's whole. A clear mind, a clear mind. Thank you for wisdom, God. Thank you for healing throughout her body right now, bringing a healing and a cure in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. The power of God. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing, Lord. The anointing. Thank you, Jesus, that anointing that breaks the yoke, that heals, that sets them free. I thank you that the root cause is healed, balanced in your body in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, that you're the God of miracles, Lord. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. Thank you, Jesus. Even as you cling to what he's done, even as you cling to what he paid for, he is the God of miracles, and you can expect miracles. You can expect miracles in your life. You can expect it because it's no longer your life, it's his life. And if his life is in you, then you can walk in the miraculous. You can walk in healing. You can walk in victory. You can. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Was there anybody I did not pray for that was waiting for prayer? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. The Bible says that when one comes to Jesus, when one name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that there is such a celebration in heaven that the angels are throwing a party. So can we give him some praise today? Can we give him some glory? Can we celebrate that somebody crossed over from the power of death to the power of life? Can we celebrate like somebody's life was pulled out of hell and transported into heaven today? That's the kind of celebration we can do, because it's by His power, by His name, that He reached in and pulled us out. Come on, Jesus. Come on. Woo! Come on. Come on. Come on, Jesus. Come on. Today, Lord, today, Lord, today, we remember You rose, and we rise with You, Jesus. We rise with You, Father, and we're taking as many people as we can with us. Come on. I love you guys. Have a happy Resurrection Sunday, all right? Come on, celebrate Jesus all week, amen? We love you. Jesus loves you more.